Amen. Let's, everybody has, anybody not have the Bible study sheets? Raise your hands if you do not have a Bible study sheet. Before we get into that, this coming Saturday, we're having a chili cook-off. And little need to get a little idea of who's coming. I know a lot are not here. We've got so many out sick. So, but we need a little hand count of who's coming. It's be, what, at 1 o'clock? 1 o'clock, and I think they're eating about 2. Need to be here around 1. So if you're going to be able to come to the chili cook-off, would you raise your hand, hold your hands up? Let's see, hold your hand up. We got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, somewhere maybe around 20 that I see. All right. All right. Good. Thank you. What does the Bible say about wisdom? Wednesday nights is devoted to a topical Bible study. There are different approaches to studying the Bible. One approach is to take a more analytical approach where you take a book of the Bible and you examine it verse by verse. That's normally an area of, we refer to that preaching style as exegesis. We take that and you take each verse and you go through. And that's a wonderful way to study the Bible. Sometimes I'll take a book of the Bible and preach through that book. And we go verse by verse, literally word by word, and try to look at each word and pull apart and analyze that meaning. There's another way of studying called textual, where you'll take a text and you'll look at all the points that's conveyed in that text. And oftentimes we'll use that approach to delivering messages, especially on Sunday nights. And then there's what's called topical studies, and that's where you take a topic and you then give support scriptures to that topic throughout the Bible. You don't necessarily try to contain yourself to the text, but rather you're focusing on the topic. And several years ago, we began on Wednesday night studying what does the Bible say, and it's a topical study. And we look at hundreds of different topics. And as we do that, we use a very simple format. We just take a verse that applies to that topic. We read that verse, and then we write on these little interactive sheets exactly what the Bible said to us from that topic. And I especially enjoy the Wednesday evening study because I think it arms us with a tremendous capability when we look at all the verses brought together dealing with a certain subject. It gives you a study that you can use to help others, and it gives you a background. And tonight we're talking about wisdom. We're continuing with where we began last week on wisdom. And certainly wisdom is knowing what God's perspective is on something. And you cannot know that without studying Scripture. That's how you gain God's wisdom. You don't get wisdom by reading the Encyclopedia Britannica. You get knowledge, but you don't get wisdom. And the Bible, wisdom is God's perspective. It is the correct use of knowledge. You can use knowledge wrongly and become a devil. It's important that knowledge be used in the right way, used from perspective of God. So we looked at number one, what are the actions of a wise man? And last week I gave you 13 actions. We looked at a number of verses, but from that we drew out 13 things. And we'll not go back quickly as I sometimes do, give you a little recap. We'll not do that tonight. If you did not get that, get with someone or get the tape and get those 13 things. But let's begin tonight with number 14. What does the Bible say about the actions? What are the actions of a wise man? Look at Proverbs chapter 9 and look at verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it tells us, it says, "and the knowledge of the holy." It's talking about knowing God. That is when you begin to get some understanding. The more that you get to know God. So from this we learn, number 14. People with wisdom have a fear of God and a desire to know Him better. People with wisdom have a fear of God. I'm going to tell you, if you do not have a fear of God, you're not very smart. As a matter of fact, you're downright dumb. Amen? Fear. Fear. Fear means to respect God and to recognize that He is sovereign and we are submissive. And God is holy and we are sinful. And so to have a good, to have wisdom means that we have a healthy fear of God, a healthy respect of God. And it also says, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So people with wisdom have a fear of God, and they have a desire to know God and to know Him more fully. To know what God wants, what God expects, what God wants from me, what He wants from you. What pleases Him and what breaks His heart. That's what the Bible talks about, the idea of wisdom. It is this idea of knowing God and having a fear of God. Then look at what are the actions of a wise man. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11. And by the way, all of the verses I'm giving you in this study is from the book of Proverbs. There are many verses throughout the Bible. But the book of Proverbs is a book that is devoted to wisdom. And so I decided in this study to stay strictly in the book of Proverbs. But look at Proverbs chapter 11 and look at verse 12. It says, "He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace." People that is void of wisdom despise his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. From this we learn wisdom is learning to show respect for others. Amen. We don't all do things the same way. We're even those of us from America, we don't always do things the same way. We from the South think folks from up north are crazy. And I think there's a little truth to that. No, folks from up north think folks down south don't know which way is up. People in the country look at the people in the city rather suspiciously. But while we recognize that we come from different backgrounds and different codes, different ethical trainings and teachings, wisdom means that we are respectful of one another. We can disagree, certainly, but we should disagree respectively. We believe that we're to be soul winners. We're to be witnessed. Christians are to be militant. We're not to adopt the philosophy of live and let live. I'm not going to bother you. You don't bother me. The Bible tells us we have to bother you. Because we can't love you and sit by while you go through life as a lost person, die and go to hell because we just never really cared enough or were willing to sort of shake up the water a little bit. Many of couples, husbands and wife, one gets saved and the other one says, "All right, look, if that's what you want to do, that's your business, just leave me out of it." That's a tall order when you're saved and you love that person. How do you leave them out of it? How do you divorce yourself from the good news? How do you sit across the table from a lost husband and enjoy the meal and talk about how beautiful the sun was today and how nice the weather was and how gorgeous the flowers are and what happens on the Fox News channel tonight and all of that. But Jesus never one time comes into conversation. How do you do that? How is the one that you love most of all, the Lord, and how is the one that absolutely touches everything that you do, permeates your thinking on every subject, how do you just leave that out? I don't think you can. And I certainly don't believe you should. I think we ought to do what we can to win our loved ones for Christ. But I think there is a way to do it that is respectful. And there is a way to do it that's badgering and holier than thou. And instead of bringing them closer, it often drives them away. There's a way that we can rebuke those around us that are doing things wrong and yet do it and still leave them their respect. There's a way that you can stand up for what you believe and still be courteous. I believe when someone comes to your door, I believe we ought to go out and knock on doors. I believe we ought to pass out gospel tracts. But we should be respectful and courteous. If you knock on someone's door and they tell you, look, I don't want any of that. That sign right there says no solicitors. Don't you come back here. Don't you say, okay, go ahead and burn hell. That's not the way to do it. Had a young man that had gotten saved, and we were going off a couple of hundred miles away for a revival, and I used to take a couple of preacher boys with me. Usually when I would go in meetings, I'd try to take a couple of different preacher boys in our congregation. I'd take them with me, take them out of school. We had our own school, and I would talk to the parents, and usually when I went on and I preached somewhere, generally every week, and I'd take a different preacher boy with me. And so this young man had gotten saved and really excited. He wasn't a preacher boy yet, became one later. I hope he learned a little bit. But he asked if he could go with me. And his mother said, boy, he would sure love to go. And so I took him with me, knowing that his training yet had some pretty big holes in it. I just didn't realize how big the holes were. And but anyway, we were out. They were out knocking doors, and he was with another young man. They were out knocking doors too. And he came back and he said, "Boy," he said, "Brother Riggs, I had this lady just practically kick me off the porch and told me to leave and never come back." And said, "Boy, I mean, she was mad." And I said, "Well, why was she so mad?" He said, "I don't know. I'm just talking to her." And said, "I asked her, did she go to church?" She said, "Yeah, she's Methodist." And I said, "Oh, well, Methodists are going to hell." And I said, "Well, that might would do it, all right." Talked to someone else one time, and he said, "Boy, I went to visit this lady," and said, "She got furious at me." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "I don't know. I told her she was going to hell." He said, "Either that or I told her to go there. I can't remember which one." I think either one can get you into real serious trouble. I'm saying that, folks, we need to have a burden for others, but we need to be courteous. And wisdom. Wisdom is learning to show respect for others. What are the actions of a wise man? Number 16, turn to Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse 12. Proverbs chapter 8. And look at verse 12. Proverbs 8, 12. Notice that it says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Turn to chapter 16 and look at verse 21. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 21. What are the actions of a wise man? I said tonight that people with a wisdom have a fear of God and a desire to know Him better. That wisdom is learning to show respect for others. And now look at what it says, chapter 16, look at verse 21. "The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth understanding." Being prudent, it says, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Look at chapter 29 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 29. Just studying the Bible tonight, amen?
Amen.
All right, Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29, look at verse 8. "Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath." Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. Look at chapter 24. Turn back to Proverbs 24. What are the actions of a wise man? Proverbs chapter 24. And look at what it says. Look at verse 23. Proverbs 24 and verse 23. "These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment." Now, from this we learn wisdom, number 16, wisdom is using discretion in everything we do in life. Using discretion. How we deal with others. The Bible talks about the sweetness of the lips. Discretion. We need to be discreet in how we handle things and the way that we deal with things. That's true in the home. That's true in the work environment. That's true as you deal with your neighbors. That's true as you deal with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We need discretion in everything that we do. We need to learn to let the sweetness of our Lord Jesus be in our heart. You know, you can say the same thing two different ways and get two total different responses. You know, it is right. It is possible to say the right thing in the wrong way. Amen. And sometimes we can be totally correct. We're absolutely right. What we've said is exactly on. There's scripture after scripture after scripture to back that up. There's no doubt about it. We're right. But were we right in how we brought that across? You know, sometimes discretion has something to do with timing, doesn't it? You know, God not only knows what to speak, but God knows when to speak. And sometimes, maybe that's an area that we need to grow in, isn't it? Discretion. Wisdom is using discretion in everything we do. Number 17, what are the actions of a wise man? Turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. What are the actions of a wise man? Well, what does the Bible say? Proverbs chapter 11. Look at verse 2. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Now, from this we learn, number 17, wisdom is showing humility. What was it the Apostle Paul said that we look through a glass darkly now, but then face to face? He said that we know in part. There's nobody here in this room who's got a corner on wisdom. All of us know in part. Amen. All of us are going to have our mouths wide open when we get to heaven in Bible 101 class. I didn't know that. Let no one think above himself what he ought. We ought to all be able to thank God from whence we came. But we sure got a long ways to go, don't we? Wisdom is genuinely showing humility. Now, number two, what are the benefits of wisdom? What are the benefits of wisdom? Well, what does the Bible say? Look again, Proverbs chapter 10, and look at verse 1. Proverbs 10 and look at verse 1. It says the Proverbs of Solomon. By the way, the word proverb means instead of. It's a few words instead of many words. It's being able to teach a truth in few words. Most folks wishes that preachers would take a lot more after the book of Proverbs. But it's a few words instead of many words. But look at what it says. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Turn to chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And look at verse 20, Proverbs 15 and verse 20. What are the benefits of wisdom? Proverbs 15, 20 tells us that a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Wise son makes for glad fathers. Turn to chapter 23 and look at verse 15. Proverbs 23 and verse 15. He says, "My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine." He says, if thine heart be wise, son, if you can just display wisdom, it's going to make me a happy man. That's what he's saying. Turn to chapter 23 and look at verse 24. He says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him." He said, if you've got a son that shows wisdom, boy, it's going to make for a happy home. So from this we learn, what are the benefits of wisdom? Number one, wisdom brings peace and joy and happiness to the home. Wisdom. Wise enough as a child in the home to know how to respond to correction. Wisdom to know when to flee. Right? Wisdom to know how to take a stand. That takes wisdom. Young people, children are going to be faced with things and at an increasingly earlier age. The statistics today are just startling. They're staggering to see how early children are having to deal with adult subjects. And how that they're being faced with drugs and how things are happening. And now they're finding that even in elementary grades, they're having problems with rape and all kinds of things that were unheard of just not long ago at all. And children are facing some very difficult things and having the wisdom to know that's not the crowd I want to hang around. That takes wisdom. The wisdom to know I need to stay in school. I know it's aggravating and it's boring and the teachers won't let me teach them anything. But wisdom recognizes one day I'm going to be this tall and when I get there, I've got to be able to add two and two. One day I'm going to have to compete with everybody else. It's not who can put the ball through the hoop, it's who can get the job that I need to support my family. One day I'm going to need every edge I can get because the guy in the next line is just doing everything he can to get the job that I really seek.
Right.
Wisdom is when even when you're small, you recognize that mom and dad love me and they're being tough on me because they want me to be mature, to be happy and be successful. That takes wisdom. Especially when some old boy at school is telling him, my mom and daddy don't care whether I do it or not. And you're thinking, boy, you really got cool parents. But the Bible teaches right the opposite. Remember, wisdom is God's perspective. And God's Word said, parents, you're not cool when you leave that child to his himself. God's Word teaches that all children are born, yes, even yours and mine, with the wrong bending in life. And if they're left to themselves, it says they'll bring their mothers to shame. They've got to be rebent. Because the Bible says they're bent on backsliding. And so, wise parents will get their children into Bible study and get them into programs and youth programs and go through the hassles of getting your kids here so they can be involved with things. That takes wisdom, parents. But boy, it pays dividends. And parents, what you got to always understand is this. If you raise your child in church, and that child gets to be 10, 11, 12 years old, and all of a sudden that child's friend group is totally outside the church, and they're not coming to the events. They do not come to Sunday school anymore. They're not coming to the programs. They do not come to the Bible clubs that's for children. You choose not for whatever reason to bring your children to that. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. By the time that child's here two or three more years, at 13, 14 years old, that child is going to feel an outsider to the rest of the children here at church, even though they're here every Sunday. And then when a youth group comes along, they're not going to really want to be in a youth group because they feel like they can't compete. They feel like that they're not on the same level for whatever reason. They're not comfortable in that youth group. They don't want to be in a youth choir. They don't want to go to the youth activities. And they're going to start hassling you. Mom and Daddy, I don't want to go. Where do you think they do want to go? Never punish a child by removing them from the good that will help them be better. Don't keep them home from a youth activity because they didn't carry out the trash this week. Punish them, but don't punish them by removing them from the good that will build character in their life. I believe it's very important if you want your children to grow up and love their church, teach them to love their Sunday school class, teach them to love their teacher, teach them to love their pastor. They get into the youth department, teach them to love the youth pastor. You put yourself out. Here's what gets me. Parents will go and they'll take their kids to dance classes. They'll take them to everything there is going on. Just run here, run there, run there, all this stuff. But skip the very things that will build spiritual character in their life. I'm asking you, parent, do you think that is wise? There's going to come a day when you're going to need somebody beside you to back you up when that child is facing some crisis in their life. And you're going to call Brother Mike and you're going to say, Brother Mike, would you talk to my son? Now, I'm going to tell you something. His ability to help you with that son is going to depend on this. Just how much have you taught him to love his youth pastor? I'm thinking of a situation right now. Someone called me and said, Brother Riggs, would you talk to this person? And I said, certainly. I'll call them as soon as we hang up. But I don't know how much help I can be. Because you've not chosen to build a relationship with that person, with their pastor. So I don't know how much influence I'll have. But I'll do the very best I can. I'm saying, folks, that wisdom brings peace and joy and happiness to the home. Children need to learn how to stand and how to submit and when to say no and when to flee from all of that. And they learn that by getting to know the Bible. They learn that by being around the right crowd. Instead of you saying, oh no, not another thing at church, you ought to be saying, praise God. Because they're going to do something. I'm going to tell you, when they get to be teens, they're not going to sit home and twiddle their thumbs every night. They're going somewhere, and if they're sitting home, what they're watching probably isn't building character. Right. You ought to be praying, I wish there was something up there every night. Right. What are the benefits of wisdom? From this we learn, number one, wisdom brings peace and joy and happiness to the home. Number two, what are the benefits of wisdom? Look at chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Look at verse 35. Proverbs 8, verse 35. For whoso findeth me, talking about wisdom, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Whoso findeth me. Turn to chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. What are the benefits of wisdom? I mean, if I don't really put myself out that much to get it, so what? I'll tell you the so what. What are the benefits? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Now, from this we learn, number two, what are the benefits of wisdom? Wisdom brings God's favor on your life. How many of you think that might be a wise thing to have God's favor on you? Raise your hand. How many of you young people feel like going out into life when you get out of school and begin to try to build a life in this world that maybe you might would get ahead better if you had God's blessing on your life? Yeah. Wisdom brings God's favor on your life. And then number three, what are the benefits of wisdom? Turn to chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and look at verse 16. Proverbs 3, verse 16. Proverbs 3:16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Notice from this we learn, number three, wisdom brings a longer and better life. You know why? Because wisdom is wise enough to stay out of certain situations. You know, it's still shocking to me. It's still shocking to me how intelligent thinking people can ever take drugs for the first time. It's just shocking. You read the biographies and here are people that that are rich and famous. Here are people that maybe were movie stars or entertainers of some sort, and they enjoyed a tremendous talent, and as the premium for that talent was, they were recognized and they were rewarded for their craft and became very wealthy and very famous perhaps at an extremely young age. But how many of them, it's like a record just plays over and over again. The first thing they did, they've got all the money that they could ever hope for, all the fame, everything in the world, but they literally ruined their life because they turned to drugs and alcohol. I can remember when I was a kid, the idea, they called drugs dope. You're a dope. You're a dummy. Wisdom brings a longer and better life because you're wise enough to say to that kid at school, "No way, man. You're crazy if you take that stuff." You know, I don't trust anybody enough to be out of control and let them be in control of me. Trust anybody with that. Because I see people do some dumb things. If I want to do it with them, that's fine. I don't want them to do it with me. Wisdom brings a longer and a better life because you're wise enough to stay away from some things. Wise enough to stay away from drugs. Wise enough to stay away from alcohol. Think of how many people have literally wrecked and ruined their lives. I talked to someone today, a man talked with me today, shared an unbelievable story. His mother and his father got separated, got a divorce when he was about 4 years old. His father ran a liquor store, and by the time he was five, he could drink liquor. His father would brag about how much beer he could consume at the age of 5 years old. He told about all it did to his home and what it did to his daddy, what alcohol did to his daddy, and he said, "That's why I'm so firmly against it today." You know, a wise person knows that alcohol is going to destroy you. That's why the Bible says that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever deceived that thereby is not wise. It's not talking about be careful that you only drink, consume the amount you can handle. No, sir. It means that if you deal with it at all, if you have anything to do with it, you're not very wise. Wisdom is saying, "I don't want that in my life. Life's hard enough." Wisdom is saying, "I don't want to have to one day try to get off of cigarettes." How many in here used to smoke, don't smoke anymore? Raise your hand. You smoke, don't smoke anymore. There may be a few whose testimony would say, "Man, I just asked God to take it away from me, and boy, he did." That's not my testimony. It was hard, folks. It was tougher than an acre of garlic. I see the people that struggle with it and struggle with it and struggle with it, and it breaks their heart. They disrespect themselves, and they tried to quit and tried to quit. And man, what a grip it gets on you. But I've never seen anybody that takes their first drag off a cigarette and says, man, oh man, where has this been all of my life? Nobody likes smoking when you first take it. Nobody likes it. But somebody told you it's cool. Look at the people that are trying to make a living for their family. And my, how much is a pack of cigarettes now? What's a pack of cigarettes go? How much? How do you know? $3.49. I think sort of the standard most people have that smoke have about a pack a day habit. Man, that's over $100 a month. I remember when I got saved, my wife and I were, man, we were living on such a tight budget, trying to make things work, trying to make it meet. I worked at McDonnell Aircraft in St. Louis, Missouri. I'd gotten saved, and you've heard my testimony. A couple months later, the preacher's preaching on it, and boy, he tore it up. I went down to the altar and laid my cigarettes down. Then I went home, and I said, you know what? I said, and I wanted to bowl. I thought, boy, I love bowling. I just didn't have any money to go bowling. I said, you know, if I could take the money I'm spending on cigarette and go bowling once a week. But really, think of all the things that could be used to help you. Now, a wise son, see, a foolish son was, I don't care about that. A foolish son would go, hey, 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 yeah, well, you know, that doesn't mean anything to me. Hey, man, I like it. Oh, but I like it. I think it's cool. All my friends smoke, you know. This is what I do. Yeah, you smart. Boy, you smart. But a wise son starts kind of looking around him and saying, well, man, if he says it's hard, and she says it's hard, and he says it's hard, and they say it's hard, and I see all these people trying to put them out and can't and keep trying it, and they're literally become prisoners, chained to that habit. I don't want to get into that thing, so, man, I don't like the taste of them anyway. I tried one. I don't like the taste of it. I'm not going to do this. That's what a wise son does. So wisdom, the Bible teaches us, brings a longer and better life. But you know, wisdom is not just for young people. Wisdom is for adults, isn't it? Wisdom is staying out of debt. I mean, man, people get plastic in their pockets and buy, and then you get to the point that all you can do is pay the interest on the plastic. How many people are in debtor's prison? Can't do the things that you would really like to do because you're paying all this credit card interest. Wisdom is recognizing the need for a budget, isn't it? Wisdom means that just because your neighbor bought something, you might not ought to buy one too. Wisdom is learning to live within your means, isn't it? Wisdom is discretion. Wisdom brings a longer and better life. Amen? Amen? Wisdom is recognizing there are certain characters that are just shady. How many times have couples sat in my office and after they were separated and divorced, how many times has one said, I knew when I met him, I knew that he wasn't a godly person. I knew when I met her that she was not morally what I wanted her to be. Wisdom listens to those first instincts. So the Bible tells us that wisdom brings a longer and better life. Say that with me. Wisdom brings a longer and better life. And I think all of us can look back, can't we, at some decisions we made. And we sure wish we'd have been just a little wiser. But folks, we ought to at least be able to learn, shouldn't we? From our mistakes. And wouldn't it be good? You know, some people say that they went to the university of, went to school of hard knocks. But you know, I tell you what, that university of hard knocks charges a high tuition.
That's right. Right.
You know, I want to learn from my mistake, but I also want to learn from yours.
Right.
Wisdom, the Bible says, brings a longer and better life. Number four. Look at the same verse, verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Notice, number four, that riches brings riches and honor. You know, it brings wealth to you because you're wise enough to use it. The Bible teaches us that wealth is a reward of God. It's not money, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. God wants to bless His children, and God wants to provide for you, but He wants you to have the wisdom to use it correctly.
Right.
And the Bible teaches us that wisdom will bring... You know, if you're wise enough to stay in school, it's going to bring some riches to you down the road.
Right.
Now, you can kick out, you can drop out and quit in school, and you can go down here and get you a job down at McDonald's, and while your friends are having to go to school, you can have money to burn. I mean, man, you can show them. You can get your paycheck at the end of the week and you can flash that around. They're still getting an allowance from home. And you can be the big shot for 2 or 3 years, but you better enjoy it. Because the kids that are staying in school and going on and getting training and getting an education are going to be the same ones one day. You're going to look at and say, well, how come he's got that and I don't? I'm entitled. You are entitled. The Bible says if a man will not work, neither let him eat. You're entitled to reap what you sow. Wisdom says, I need to start sowing some good stuff. Amen? Wisdom brings riches and honor. Why honor? Because, you see, when you gain your riches the right way, it's honorable. But when you gain your riches by doing something shady, that's dishonorable. How many times do we see it come to light? Some company or some CEO or some employee that everybody thought was really, man, successful. Look at him. Boy, look at her. Yeah, look at them. When the news breaks that they were stealing from the company, that they were misappropriating, that they were misrepresenting. Look at the dishonor. The Bible teaches us that God will bless you and you can have riches. God may never make you a quote-unquote millionaire. That might not happen because you might not can handle it. But the Bible teaches us that God will bless if you'll learn to work and work honestly and work genuinely and be a good employee and show an interest and heart for your company that you're there and a loyalty to your company. God will reward that. And sooner or later, somebody's going to recognize you because, frankly, you don't have a whole lot of competition. And then when it does come, there'll be honor with it. Because you got it the right way. Wisdom brings riches, and wisdom brings honor. And then look at chapter 4 and verse 6. What are the benefits of wisdom? Look at verse 6. It says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is not a once-in-a-lifetime step. It's not something that you go through and you get a degree in it and you're done with it. Wisdom is a choice between two paths every day of your life. It's the choice to do right. Wisdom brings protection. And wisdom, the Bible tells us, will protect us. It will watch over us. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Protection. Preserve thee. It's a daily lifestyle. You know, if you'll just choose to do, if you'll be wise enough to do it right, you don't have to worry about what the boss finds out or what mom and dad finds out or what your mate finds out. If you will form this life standard in your life early on to just do the right thing, what is it Dr. Bob Jones used to say? Do right, even if the stars fall, do right. Said that it is never, ever, ever right to do wrong in order to do right. Never is, never is, never is. Just form this habit, I'm going to do the right thing. Stand on principle, not personality. Principle. And when you do the right thing, the harvest from that is that wisdom will bring riches and honor, and wisdom will bring protection. It will protect you. Are you listening to me? It'll protect you.
Right.
Married couples, if you're wise enough to put some standards in your relationship, it will protect you. I've counseled with people who are in this dilemma. I love my husband, but I've gotten to know this person at work. And I love him too, and I don't know what to do. I know what you're going to say, preacher. I know that God's against divorce, and I know that, but I love him. Did you love him the first time your eye caught his across the aisle? No. Did you love him the first time he said, "Hey, you want to catch lunch for a few minutes?" No. Did you love him the first time he said, "How are things going?" And you thought, "Man, this guy's interested. This is somebody I can talk to. My husband comes home, stares at the football game, and here's a man that really listens." Did you love him then? No, sir. Hey, can you see the danger signs flashing? How many of you can see them? Raise your hand. Can you see them? Can you see them? Can you see them? You see, wisdom recognizes those signs. Person says, "Well, now look, now that he's just a friend." You see, I don't believe that women need men friends. That's why God gave you a husband. I don't believe men need women friends. That's why God gave you a wife. Wisdom. Wisdom causes you to set some filters in your life, starting with your computer system. Wisdom causes you to be accountable to somebody. Wisdom means that you're going to make sure that you're not in a situation. The Bible says you're to avoid even the appearance of evil. Now, wisdom says, "I can see the point in that. Now, I know that I would never do nothing, and I know that nobody could ever get in between my wife and I, and I know that I would, but I can see at least the wisdom in that." That's wisdom. But a foolish person says, "Nah, never happened to me. You don't know me. You don't know me very well." No, I don't know you, but I know the God who made you to know what He says about you.
Right.
And He knows you better than you know yourself. And to him that think he standeth, take heed lest he fall. There's not a person in this room so strong but that you can't be brought down. Listen to me. Listen to me. There's not a relationship in this world that somebody can't get in, mess it up, if you're not wise enough to stay away from. Wisdom brings a longer and better life. Riches. Wisdom brings riches and honor. Wisdom, number 5, brings protection. Now, number 6, turn to 28, Proverbs 28. And look at verse 26, 2 more verses. Proverbs 28. Look at verse 26. "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." From this we learn, number 6, wisdom brings deliverance from the wrong places, from the wrong crowds, from the wrong activities, from the wrong relationships. Wisdom watches your heart. Wisdom brings deliverance. Then in the last one, number 24, Proverbs 24, verse 14. Now folks, this study tonight can literally change your life if you'll let it. Because it's just Bible. It's just Bible. You know everything we've said tonight. There's Scripture for it. You see it. You see where exactly where it fits in. Wisdom says, "Thank you, God, for this study. Help me to apply it." Proverbs 24, verse 14, "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it, then shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." From this we learn, number 7, wisdom will bring a reward to everybody who takes time to acquire it. Everybody. That's why I recommend read the book of Proverbs faithfully, regularly. If you'll read one chapter of Proverbs every day, you'll read the entire book through every month. And it's a tremendous study to have. Let's bow our heads tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed. Wisdom is God's perspective on life. The Bible teaches that in all of our getting, be sure we get it. There's a lot of things in life you may seek and a lot of worthwhile things that you may labor for. But none are as important and far-reaching as gaining wisdom, God's perspective on life. In a moment, we're going to stand. If you've never received Christ, would you come tonight and say, "Preacher, I need wisdom." And I know that begins by trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. Or maybe there's a Christian family that just needs to say, "God, I need your wisdom in my life." Let's stand, shall we? And as we stand, would you come?